From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message, expounding one of the most blessed and beloved passages in the Old Testament Scriptures, Isaiah chapter 53. The theme of the chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Joyful Security. The text is Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear of falling is wholesome. To be venturesome is no sign of wisdom. Times come to us when we feel that we must go down unless we have a very special support. Here we have it. God's right hand is a grand thing to lean upon. Mind, it is not only His hand, though it keepeth heaven and earth in their places, but His right hand, His power united with skill, His power where it is most dexterous. Nay, this is not all. It is written, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That hand which he uses to maintain his holiness and to execute his royal sentences, this shall be stretched out to hold up his trusting ones. Fearful is our danger, but joyful is our security. The man whom God upholds, devils cannot throw down. Weak may be our feet, but almighty is God's right hand. Rough may be the road, but omnipotence is our upholding. We may boldly go forward. We shall not fall. Let us lean continually where all things lean. God will not withdraw His strength, for His righteousness is there as well. He will be faithful to His promise and faithful to His Son, and therefore faithful to us. How happy ought we to be? Are we not so?
Grace of Jesus, greater than all.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He began these studies with verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, which speak of the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. Today he continues his exposition of verse 1 of chapter 53, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" We've seen that the gospel is a report. That is, through the revelation of Scripture, God has shown Christ to be the only hope of mankind. This report concerns man's eternal destiny, which makes it of utmost importance. Then it comes from God himself, which stresses its infallibility. Because it is backed by the power of God, this gospel report is invincible. Sadly, man in his fallen state refuses to believe God's report, and without divine intervention, all people would suffer the fate of eternal punishment. Now to continue this message called The Rejection of the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
A report necessarily deals with things that can't be seen. If you could see the thing for yourself, you wouldn't need a report of it. The report speaks of that which is invisible. When you look at the gospel, it speaks of the unseen God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, you find it speaks of an unseen Savior. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 speaks of the things which are unseen but eternal. And when you think that the emphasis of the gospel is upon the unseen, after all, you have never seen a sin. Oh, you've seen the results of sin. You've seen people in the act of the commission of sin, but you have never seen a sin, just as you've never seen a thought. You have never seen grace. You may have felt it. I trust God you have. But you've never seen grace, you've never seen God, you've never seen Christ, you've never seen redemption. These are things that are unseen, but they are real. And this report of the unseen thing is preached to you, demanding to be received by faith. Men are bound to the realm of the visible. Men are bound to the realm of that which their physical senses can relate to. But I tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ would lift you to the realm of the unseen God, the unseen Christ, and the unseen things of his gospel. I call upon you to receive this report by faith. Thank God this gospel has the characteristic of being invincible. Ultimately, it depends not on the preacher, not on the money that the church can raise for the spread of missions. Those things are important. But it depends on the arm of the Lord. When the Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten that, it has always gone into apostasy. Dr. Elliott got me a book that I was interested in called The Romance of the Last Crusade. It has a big notice on it to say that I've got to give it back. It's a pity because I would like to have forgotten that notice, but it has to go back. It's a very interesting book. The thing that strikes me in it is this, that just like just about every other boy raised in England or Great Britain generally, at some time or other, in his youth, the author of this book was greatly stirred by the romance of the histories of the Christian crusades to free the Holy Land. What they were dark, black, bloody chapters that have besmirched the history of the cause of Jesus Christ. Wrought by men who were as dark as hell in their sin. Pursued by popes with vicious political aspirations. And carried out by superstitious monarchs who knew no better. What the Holy Land needed was the preaching of the gospel in the arm of the Lord, not Richard Lionheart with a sword of England to cut people's heads off and cut their vitals out. That did no good to anybody. I tell you this today, the great crusade of the Church of Jesus Christ is the preaching of the gospel in the arm of the Lord. The arm of flesh will fail us. The arm of flesh has never done anything else but fail us. And when the Church of Jesus Christ has turned to the arm of flesh, it has always floundered. The work of God can only go forward when the arm of the Lord is revealed. But bless God, that arm of God will be revealed. God Almighty has bound himself to bless the preaching of the gospel. And this scriptural report is invincible. Its source, then, is that it's from God. Its theme is Jesus Christ. Its characteristics, it's important, infallible, invisible, and invincible. And of course, if you've got a report, you must have its reporters. The reporters of the gospel are eyewitnesses of the majesty and the glory of our God. Isaiah, this particular reporter, who speaks here on behalf of all the prophets and all the reporters and preachers of the gospel. Isaiah could say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the outshining of the glory of God. What did he see? He saw what the apostles of Christ saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw what Paul the Apostle saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The reporters were eyewitnesses. But you know, the greatest reporter of the gospel is not a prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. Not an apostle like Peter, James, or John, or even Paul. The greatest reporter of the gospel is God himself. For the word of God, the eternal Son, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in John 1:18, we read that this only begotten Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The great reporter of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And it is his Spirit that informs and inspires and instructs every other scriptural reporter of the gospel. When Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? He is saying, who has believed the message that comes from the God of heaven, that is about the God of heaven and his grace in the person of his Son, and that is brought to us by the God of heaven in the person of his Son. This is the scriptural report of the gospel. But notice its sinful rejection. Who hath believed our report? You know, there is no answer given to the question, because no answer is needed. It is suggested in the very asking of the question that there are few who believe. In fact, you could go further and say that there are none. There's nobody who believes the gospel by nature. By nature, men are not believers. I want you to think of that. By nature, ever since the fall, men are skeptics. So if you find yourself being skeptical about the gospel, you're not proving your smartness, you're only proving your sinfulness. If you find yourself rebelling against the gospel, remember all you are doing is showing that you are a true child of fallen Adam. Look at this question. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You'll see the nature of unbelief. What is it? First of all, it disbelieves the truth of the gospel. When God speaks, men should listen, but unbelief won't listen. When God speaks, men should give credit to what he says, but unbelief would discredit the very word of the eternal God and establish the lying testimony of devils and of men. It's the first characteristic of unbelief. You'll notice this, however, from our text, that unbelief feels nothing of the transforming power of the gospel. That's always a mark of an unbelieving heart. It's always the great characteristic of a soul that's steeped in unbelief. There is no experience of the power of God's grace. All that there is in an unbelieving heart is the power of sin, the power of self, the power of pride, the outworking of lust. There is all that is shameful. But in a heart that is unbelieving, there is not a trace of the experience of the power of transforming grace. The arm of the Lord is not revealed. That's the nature of unbelief. The text speaks of the universality of this unbelief. Who hath believed our report? By nature, fallen man is faithless. But I want you to notice this. That is true even when he's well taught. Isaiah was speaking in a nation that was the best taught nation on earth as far as the things of God went. There never has been a better taught nation than the nation of Israel. But even when men are well taught, they're still unbelievers. See, I want you to get this. Christianity will never be the result of being well educated in the things of the Bible. Christianity will not come to your heart. Christ will not come to your heart simply because you have learned certain doctrines, certain principles, certain facts. A well-taught sinner is just that. He's a well-taught sinner. You need more than information to make you a saint of God. You need to learn more than facts to pass from death unto life. I've always been amazed as I have listened to various radio programs over in the United Kingdom. They have a very different setup of radio there than I've been able to find here in the States, probably because of the funding of it. I have found that they have programs from the serious to the comedy, in which they bring to the fore people from the world of theater, various arts and sciences, and schools, from all walks of life. And one thing that has struck me is that on average, those people, just because of their literary training, those people could recite the facts, aye, and indeed great reams of the words of Scripture, better than most preachers. They have been well taught, but they're just well taught sinners. I have been told, I would pray that it would not be true, but I have been told that the man who has turned out the best reading of the Scriptures did that reading and was never converted. To to be well taught is not to be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.